This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, SportsMappers? Welcome to the fray. It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're all live in studio and hopefully helping you along with your day as you take us along for the ride. If you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show, which was available only on ESPN 97.5 and on the stream, you can go to ESPN975.com. You can click on the show tab. You can get the first couple hours of the show, and you can catch up on what you missed. There was a lot of good fun to be had, as well as some sports news mixed in as well. And as always, on that ESPN 975 site, you can also download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere, all the time.
Chan said, I will be on ESPN 97.5, The Usual Suspects, with Barry, Joel, and Nick with some tweets. Tune in at 2:45. Thank you, Chanlo. We appreciate that.
Chanlo.
Clayton Sutherland wants to know, why do so many people want to beef with y'all? I don't know.
It's not really a beef.
No, it's not. It's a pretty one-sided argument, really. It's like, just don't call, don't listen to him.
I mean,
specifically, well, not the rest of you, to him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's the one who brought up the tweet, and he was the one that was so upset. So
Christina wants to know, do we need an intervention for Nick?
Yeah, I saw
he
that
tweet. He's
gotten
so
Christina.
Violent. He used to be so nice. Yeah. I know. Threatening me with Mr. Gao?
Yeah, for that lawn care stuff, that needs to stop.
I could not agree more, Nick.
But the best thing about that is people actually had sympathy for Barry on the text line.
Yeah.
When I was giving him
called
all this grief.
Called you a bully. Leave me alone is what they said.
I'm bullying Laminack. That's how it goes. Yeah.
I have never bullied anyone. I'm not mean to people.
Interns
despite,
count.
No. Yep.
They're people too.
Fake news.
Uh-huh.
Despite what Knuckles says. Yeah, Barry, the show's much better when you're on the listeners. No. Unless we spell your name wrong. No, that's not. Shut up, Knuckles. I don't bully nobody. Joel's Jim Adler is life. That's from L.U. Dillon.
Okay.
It's pretty solid.
It is a highlight of the day. That is for sure.
He should sponsor the show. He really should.
Jim Adler? Yeah. As much run as he gets?
Yeah, he gets so much run on the show. The Texas Hammer should be a usual suspect.
He really should. I'd love to see y'all do a read.
We should do a read?
Where you'd be like, he'd be going, I hammered him. You'd be like, you hammered him. I hammered him. You hammered him. Don't do the face.
Then he'd get mad if I did the face.
Well, that's the part that I want to know. Yeah. He'd have to be cool with that part.
Yeah,
he would not
do that.
Be cool.
He would not be cool with that.
No.
We should do picks with the hammer.
One day you need to call in as the hammer, but people would know.
Chiefs, Saints in Mexico. Saints hammered him by 17 points.
You could do the recap.
On my book, you made $4.32.
Oh, my gosh. Great show today, guys. Y'all have me rolling, especially Nick being a bully. That's from NASCAR Johnny. Nailed it.
Right.
Yep. Everybody is basically saying, Nick, you're a bully.
I'm not a bully.
You're violent, and you're a bully.
I'm half the size of both of you fat boys. How am I the bully?
Well, like half the size bigger?
No, half the... You ain't
old. Yeah.
That was smooth. That was smooth.
Okay. Did y'all shout out Stanley? Yeah, first hour. Go back and listen.
Sure did.
We would never forget that.
Nope.
Joel, you think Melo will fit in with the Lakers?
I think, and you and I were talking about this in the break, I think that's where he ends up. A lot of people are saying the leader in the clubhouse is Philly. I think it's
Miami.
It's too dangerous of a situation in Philly where you could really, really toxically hurt those kids in Philadelphia. You got a veteran now in Jimmy Butler. He's going to control that locker room. He's going to have a voice that's going to be heard. If he clashed with Melo in front of Embiid and Simmons and the young guys, that could be devastating to that franchise's growth with that team. I think in L.A., basically, we've seen what's going on. They get a pass this year, and we know it, that LeBron is playing for next year when he can bring in two max players with him and put it all together. And you've seen some misfits that have fit in early in the season with the guys that Lance Stephenson JaVale McGee.
But they're such a bad defensive team. Why would you add another bad defender to that team?
Because they have trouble scoring.
Okay, well, that's the Rockets' problem, too. If you think about it,
Shouldn't be.
But the Rockets are sixth in points allowed in the NBA. They are like 23rd in points scored.
They're 24th in pace, too. But the thing is...
Here, I'll give you the exact numbers. Hold on. They are 7th in points allowed at 107. Ahead of San Antonio, behind Oklahoma City. In points scored, which they're scoring 102 a game, which is pretty god-awful, 29th out of 30 teams in the NBA. It wasn't a defense issue, really. I think that's been the narrative. This team isn't scoring, and you know, going 1-for-11 and your only score is off of a goaltend. I just don't see how he helps LA at all.
Because he can score, if he's in his comfort zone, and LeBron puts a lot of guys in good positions, but they have is Kuzma and LeBron. Well,
Harden
to
puts
get
guys
points.
In good positions, so does Chris Paul. But if you can't score with those two, what makes you think it's going to be
different
the thing,
with
LeBron?
It's just like Eric Gordon. One of the reasons why I keep saying Eric Gordon struggled so much is because he's still getting the same minutes, per se, and the same shots, but they're not the same quality because they're forcing him to play the ball handler role in a second unit with a guy that's going to dominate the shots and dominate the ball. Once he gives it to him, he doesn't get it back.
But then
there's a big problem why the Rockets' offense has staggered, because Gordon was a guy that was so vital to your success a year ago, and he's had to change his entire game, and he's not comfortable doing it.
But he was doing the ball handler. Ariza wasn't a ball handler, nor was Mbah Mute.
Guys aren't commanding the same shots that Melo is. They're not demanding the ball and sucking the life out of it and then taking a mid-range post-up fadeaway jump shot.
Yeah, but the ball handling side of it, I'm saying, like, you know, bringing the ball up, he was still doing
that
with those guys.
It's easy because he starts a play with those guys, and he knows it'll come back, and it'll go around, and they'll work it because it's part of the system.
The ball gets sticky on Melo.
Yeah, and it got real sticky, and then you dribble the life out of it, and then what happens? Well, if he does kick it back out, it's 5 or less on the shot clock, and Gordon's taking a bad shot. Now, also, last night shows you that if guys play their regular roles, because even all the way down the bench, Gerald Green has suffered immensely because that guy that came in and could be instant offense for you is hardly seeing the court. And they're experimenting to see what they have in Ennis. Now they figured out that Clark may be more valuable and fit in more. But overall, everybody's kind of had to be adjust on the fly mode while they tried to figure it out. And in the process, you're right. Their offense is god-awful. But they feel like this is one step that's going to try and help them do that. And again, I keep going back to the fact that your two best players have been in and out of the lineup and haven't been close. Everybody's below average statistically from where they were a year ago. And obviously Harden's going to be the toughest to keep on that same high level. But they're not playing. Chris Paul's now saying his elbow's hurt. But Chris Paul shot the ball awfully too.
And they haven't been a complete unit for just about the entire year. So that is a great point that they haven't had all their pieces. I just don't know that the pieces that they have, whether they all play together or not, would matter.
Well, that's what goes back to my point about Daryl. Excuse me, Nick, real quick. But that's why I said, don't blame Melo. Blame Daryl, because the square pegs, round hole pieces you brought in are a main reason why you're not performing at the level you have been offensively.
That's a point.
Yeah, and I think one thing to point out, and it may sound like I'm defending Melo, and I'm really not, but Doc Rivers said this before the Rockets played them, and he said, look, offensive players take a little bit longer to transition into a new team and fit with a new offense, but no one has the time or the patience, and that's why Carmelo is getting a lot of the blame. He's getting a lot of the blame, I think, just simply because the Rockets have cut him. There was a lot of question as to whether or not they should even bring him on the roster, and now that the Rockets have cut him, people are thinking the Rockets are blaming him. But look, even if he goes to L.A., does he really want to go? When you consider his personality, do you really want to go and play next to LeBron James?
Yep. They're friends. He's got a house in L.A. He's comfortable in L.A.
They're friends, and then you start working. Work with that guy 82 games a year.
They'll do what the Rockets wouldn't do, too. They'll start him. They'll start him and find the role that he wants. Because the biggest problem you got right now that you had with this situation is Melo's ego was far bigger than any other element in the situation. Because if he'd have done what he said he was going to do, and if his true goal was just to win and fit in, he might still be on this roster.
But
today,
to his point, if you can't, I mean, him and Chris Paul, great friends, right? Him and Harden seem to be great friends. couldn't make it work here with those two guys and PJ Tucker all really supporting and wanting Melo. So he's just everywhere he's gone. He wasn't able to make it work in Oklahoma City. Right. He can't make it work here. I don't know why anyone would think he can make it work anywhere else.
And that's not to say that LA is not a possibility. I think with Joel, I think it is a legit possibility that he does go to LA. I'm just not sure that it will work.
I'm just not sure it's the right move.
But he'll get enough playing time there too, where he can try and generate enough interest for next year, whether it be with the Lakers or anybody else. He'll get the starting job that, again, mentally he had a hard time accepting his bench role here and all the things we heard from him when he was, again, too big of a focus on this team, win or lose, when we should hear about. And the other thing is, PJ Tucker had nothing to do with Melo. Everything that I'm told and everything that I have found out about says there were only three people that wanted Melo on this roster, and that divided the locker room. That was Chris Paul, James Harden, and Daryl Morey. So those three guys, you didn't get the full overwhelming support of everybody else on the roster. And everybody else on the roster saw the wheels turning about, my role's going to change. Am I going to play now instead of being in the rotation?
So does this mean that this is D'Antoni winning the argument against Carmelo Anthony? Because if those three guys are the ones that wanted him, the only other guy that matters in that locker room is Mike D'Antoni at this point. Because you got your two superstars, you got your GM. That tells me that D'Antoni obviously got these three in a room and said, this sucks.
Yep.
We suck. Yep. And we need to move on. You guys screwed this up and it's time to make it right.
What else could have happened? They asked Mike D'Antoni after the San Antonio game, what's going on with Melo? And how do you see him? They asked him a bunch of questions. You know what his answer was? Any questions about Melo can be referred to Daryl Morey, and Daryl Morey can answer that. That tells you that coach is done.
Yeah, that coach is done, and I bet he was done. I mean, he probably was willing to make sacrifices to work with Carmelo Anthony if he thought it was going to be for the good of the team. But then once you see that your defensive coordinator got run off, and it was probably had something to do with Carmelo Anthony and their relationship, and there was a bunch of
indicators, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
From Carmelo Anthony being as vague as he was with the media,
yep,
to when Mike D'Antoni was asked, hey, is he going to make the trip to Denver? Oh, I don't know. Really? Yeah. You don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. And then the other thing, and that's not a knock on D'Antoni. I think he answered the question correctly. I'm not criticizing D'Antoni. I'm just saying there's a lot more that he can let on. And then when you consider the fact that, look, you like what Joel said, you defer to Daryl Morey because that's it. I don't have the power completely like a Greg Popovich as to what I can do with this roster. I gave you the opportunity to make that change. It doesn't work. Now I have a little bit of a little bit more leverage as a coach to say, you know
what? Plus, it's coming back on him, Nick. Now, instead of him being able to stay clear of the blame because it was Daryl bringing him in, but now because it's not working in the system and the team is struggling, and now everybody's pointing fingers going, we want answers, and why is this and why is that? And when he has to start going, look, that's I got to coach better and I got to do more, now he knows, hey, I used to be able to say the defense is Jeff's and the offense was clicking, and now it's like, whoa, okay.
I gave this a shot to work,
and you filled the cupboard for me instead of me telling you players that I'd like to see.
That's what I'm thinking, man. I feel like this lets you know right now, Mike D'Antoni is the one swinging the big stick in that locker room.
I wrote about it and said, look, when you get a team to the Western Conference Finals and we're a hamstring away from the finals – and win 65 games in a regular season to set a franchise record, you should have a say-so and more because you've earned that opportunity that should be there for you. And they're not giving it to him. So hopefully this – but here's the other thing it tells you. They know that there's a panic button to be pressed, and they know that they still got time to try and salvage this season because there's too many high expectations for this team to just mail it in.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes going forward. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I know with the weather that's heading our way and all the rain that we've had, a lot of you have realized you got problems with your roof and you need help, but you don't want people that are out there to get your money ahead of time and then skip town, don't do very good work, and can't be reached to try and get the things fixed that they didn't do the first time. Well, you're not going to have those problems with Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. One, it means they use CertainTeed shingles, which are the best. And the second thing is that they have a status that only 1% of roofers in the entire United States have the criteria to get, and that is elite. Their base warranties are longer than your average roofer. They're Houston-based, which means they're not going anywhere. They're reputable, which means they'll come back before, during, and after the job. And they're here to make sure that the one thing and the one focus is you get the roof or roof repairs you need at a price that's right, and it's guaranteed. They are so dedicated to the community that they give 10% of all their profits back to a nonprofit they set up called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people who need a roof over their head, but they can't afford to pay for it. They have an A-plus rating on a Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. It's real simple, gang. Just get on the internet and get on to Fitz Roofing, FITZ Roofing.com, or better yet, give them a call, 832-521-3001. That sets up a free, no-obligation inspection and let the process go from there because it doesn't cost you a thing. 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having fun on a Monday. Barry's back in town, Nick behind the glass, and hopefully in your minds on a Monday that's dreary, we're kicking some ass. It's The Usual Suspects on the final hour of the show. As we continue to cover things that popped up over the weekend, obviously the Rocket story was big, but the other big story that I was getting bombarded from listeners and everybody else, did you see this? But this Zach Smith, Tom Herman thing reared its ugly head one more time. And
man,
boy, that was the show of all shows on social media.
Zach Smith came out and said, forget it, man. If I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me.
Hard, man.
Here's a tweet that he started with, or one of them. Remember when you were with an Asian masseuse? Because I do, at Coach Tom Herman. You're the biggest snitch alive and also the biggest hypocrite alive. Anyone want to know all that I know about Tommy Boy? Contact me. Laughing my ass off. That's wild. This dude is just losing it. Like, man, I don't care. My life is ruined, so I might as well just get out here and be a dick. And that's what he's doing.
Oh, and it got... he continued because then he screen captured his tweets to Herman because he said, I'm reaching out to Tom Herman directly too. I've texted him, so don't worry about him not getting this. Savage move that he tagged his wife's Twitter handle.
Yeah, and said, you cheated on her and tagged her.
Yeah, and then said, so you're an S-bag. Now after you decided to ruin me, I'm going to expose who you are. And several coaches have reached out to me to expose you because, as they said, who is he to condemn you when he isn't living right? And they were so right. Send Courtney more money, bitch. That's Zach Smith's ex-wife. I'm going to share everything about you, including all the pictures I've taken of the crap you did. So tell Randall and all your cronies to stop because I'm ready to expose. And, of course, everybody got a kick out of the fact that Tom Herman's response was cool. Hook him.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks. I mean,
what else are you going to say? No, please don't. Because you know he's gonna screenshot it. Now you've got like admitting it basically. But man,
there was more.
He just
too.
Lost. I mean, he just kept going. Yeah. It was just he was tagging. Hey, Britt McHenry, report this. And
Britt McMurphy.
Yeah. You know, Britt McMurphy. Yeah. He cheated on this and tagging his. Oh man, it got ugly. He's lost it though. You know, you ever seen like an ex boyfriend or girlfriend, doesn't matter, but just go crazy on Twitter? That's basically what's happening. He's losing his mind. He's so scorned and he's so upset that he's just going to do it. And it's a bad look. You're already self-destructed.
Right.
Now you just look vindictive and bad. And you look worse than you did before, if that was even possible.
Now, a couple things. He's going to do a radio interview tomorrow in the Midwest, so we may get more radio gold out of that. You know, he also basically is out there now trying to defend his position because there's probably a good chance he was drinking a little bit while all this was flowing out of his Twitter handle. Think? But he said, anyone that knows me or has followed me on social media knows I would only be quiet like a little trooper for so long. Phonies need to be exposed. I will not lay down. I will not let lies and liars thrive at my expense. The truth shall set you free. So stay tuned because I don't think this one is even close to over yet.
Nope.
He's going to continue to go, like I said, radio interview tomorrow. But some of this stuff was just dumb. I don't know if you saw this, but he said, hey, question for recruits. Would you go play for a coach that cheats on his wife habitually and frequents Asian massage parlors? He has 3 kids. And his wife told my ex she's been trying to leave him for 6 years.
Man.
If you're a recruit, you're like, man, as long as he takes care of me, I don't care what he's doing in his personal life.
As long as the money keeps coming.
Exactly right. And that car still and the gas. Yeah, we know what I'm saying.
Yeah. A couple more texts. So, what did you guys think about the Jimmy Butler trade to the Sixers? Are they the team to beat in the East?
Nope. Good trade for him, though. Because that was a team kind of not as bad as the Rockets, but we're struggling.
Still having some issues. I think they stole him. I mean, they didn't give up much to get him.
But I'll say this. What they gave up helps Minnesota. Because Nick and I were talking about it before the show. What they did get is two above-average three-point shooters that are young, that are can fit in with that young core with Wiggins and Cat more than a veteran trying to tell those young guys what to do.
Yeah, but you got a superstar, and you didn't have to give up a superstar in return.
Oh, true.
And you didn't really give away any high picks or any of that stuff.
Now, assuming what he's going to resign.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's the case, you know, superstars don't grow on trees. And we all know the draft with a top five pick is no guarantee you're getting a franchise player. It's all right. Based on potential.
Yep.
You know what you're getting with this guy. Because even after the fact, Towns and Wiggins came out and said, look, all other things aside, he's one hell of a player. And we learned from the way he plays the game. So you know he can play.
Yeah.
Whether you believe all the stories at practice or not, you know if he could take it to those guys, he's still got plenty left in the tank.
Yeah. Driving out to Midland to start my job in the oil fields, but I had to take you guys on the road with me. Got to have my suspects. That's been in the skeleton. Thank you, Ben. And then OU Mike said, have you heard what time Kurt Lowe will be on Jimmy Kimmel?
You know, the world, much like the city of Houston, is clamoring for more.
That's good stuff. More his appearance. Kurt Lowe. His appearance.
Yeah.
All right. So do we want to get these calls in?
Sure.
Let's get Lawrence. He's been holding a while, and he wants to talk MVP. What's up, Lawrence? Lawrence, you there? Going once, going twice. Okie dokie. Sean wants to talk Rockets.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
Oh, not much, man. You know, I'm a huge Rockets fan. I agree with you guys. You know, it's kind of absurd that we kind of throw it on Melo over here. But I'm glad we're doing it now. You know, because with this West, you know, the further and further you get back, you know, it's going to be harder, you know, to eventually get to where we need to be. But, you know, upside is there is some good players out there. I remember listening to you guys, and I agree, like Jeff Green, you know, he's sitting on the Phoenix bench, and what's he doing? Nothing. We could go get him. There's players out there to, you know, rebuild this. And, you know, I'm not going to be one of those fans that are going to go off of last night's performance and say, hey, we're back. But, I mean, that is a good sign. And, you know, like I said, I'm not here to, you know, put it all on Melo, man, but it's time for us, you know, to get it going and play some Rockets basketball. And, you know, I just wanted to hear what you guys thought. But, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and blame Melo, man. It's time for all of us to look in the mirror and start playing some ball, man. I appreciate y'all, and I'll shut up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Sean.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. I mean, we talked about it from the get-go. If you couldn't get some of the really big names they were talking about in free agency.
Butler.
Oh, yeah, free agency.
LeBron. Yeah.
It was, you know, LeBron, JJ Redick, PG-13.
Yeah,
PG-13. And then it was JJ Butler.
JJ
Redick was for sure.
So the big thing is then try and keep the group together. And we all agree, hey, Trevor and Luke left, but replace them with guys with similar skill sets. I mentioned those two names last week and the week before. I'll mention them again. Jeff Green, who's on the Wizards bench in a completely upside-down situation in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's just...
What the hell's going on with that?
Scotty Brooks is going to get fired.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good players that need to find a new zip code because it's not working there, and guys aren't getting along. But Jeff Green is one because he's one. He can play the perimeter defense you need. He can make the three when you need him to because they're wide open, and he can defend. And Kyle Korver. Yep. Cleveland is trying to rebuild, and the Rockets need three-point shooters. It's one of the best of all time.
And he has playoff experience,
and he's bigger and bigger and stronger than people give him credit for. Two guys that would fit beautifully where you don't have to blow the whole thing up because, you know what, it wasn't that broke in the first place, winning as much as they did last year. Just trying to replace the pieces, you'd be fine.
Yeah. And I like the adding shooters because one thing, even though the Rockets' defense this year was not as good as last year's, the one thing that last year did was when the defense wasn't playing that good, the offense was able to mask what they lacked on defense because they were always scoring. And so when they went on a shooting slump, it wasn't necessarily the end of the world because they can get right back into the groove. And then it masked their bad defense in some of the games. I know they had good defense last year. They're still working on it this year. But that's what shooters do for this team. And I think that's what helps with Mike D'Antoni's system. When shots fall, it masks so much, and it helps the Rockets so much, and I think that's important.
Great point, Nick, because think about it. It's the ebb and flow. It's the checks and balances. Remember how many times we said they're down 14 or 15, but give them a minute and a half, and it can all change? Because they can cover up for bad D by such a blizzard of offensive barrages that you that the team is on their heels, and then you take control with momentum, and then you turn the game around. They could do that a year ago. It's all interchangeable. You need better defense, and you need a hell of a lot better offense, as you said, Barry. So look, we'll see if they can do that. But like, just getting rid of Melo is not going to be the end-all, cure-all. There's plenty of work to be done. All right, Lawrence is back. We're going to give him another shot after the break, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to Lawrence and finish strong in the final half hour of the show. Anything you want to get off your mind, get off your chest you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us with Twitter. Final 30 minutes on the clock when we return. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. So, you know.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. We appreciate you taking us along for a ride on a Monday. It's the usual suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel, all in studio, hopefully helping you get through your work day. We've been running the gamut here in the final hour after a very spirited show with a lot of fun involved and you, the listeners, being great. I guess we'll put a bow on the Rockets with Jose. He was waiting to get in on our last segment discussion. So, Jose, we'll get you in first. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, I think with the Rockets situation, I think sometimes we oversimplify what's going on the court. I think it's more of a compilation of everything. You know, I don't think it was particularly just Melo not fitting in with the team, but overall, I think Ennis was supposed to be that gentleman that came in and kind of take over the Ariza thing, but the guy hasn't been able to hit an open shot for the life of him. So, you know, I think defense has figured us out. I think from last year, you know, once you're not hitting the outside shot, you're able to pack the paint. You know, yesterday with the Pacers, you saw, you know, they were cheating in the paint in order to kind of keep us out of the to get to the bucket because we weren't hitting outside shots. So it's a make or miss or make league, you know, at the end of the day. And on the defense, I think defensively we're not as bad as people are talking. To me, the biggest issue is we can't rebound. We're not a very good rebounding team. And that goes back to the guys being new. I think Ennis is one of the worst guys on rotations on the weak side. When Capella goes for the block, we never have nobody in the weak side, and we get out-rebounded offensively horribly. So at the end of the day, I mean, those are things we could fix. I'm not completely, you know, giving up on the season. But I do think that if our shots are going down like they did yesterday, it opens up the court and you're able to get to the bucket, you know, make some layups. And I think this is a different team. Of course, like just like any team in the NBA, once you make some shots, it's a different game.
All right, appreciate the call, Jose. I mean, I think we've kind of exhausted it on our end, so we'll just keep it rolling. But we appreciate your thoughts on it for sure. Lawrence wants to talk NFL MVP. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Very good.
I've been missing y'all lately because when I get off, I'm forced to listen to the Blitz. So I get off at 4, so I might have to switch y'all time slots. But
yeah, they ain't going to do that, Lawrence.
But I've been watching the NFL, and I've been thinking, I'm like, man, MVP, it can be real close. It can be Breeze, Mahomes, or Gurley, and not Hank up and listen.
It is very close.
I'll throw one more name in there.
Yeah.
Kamara.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he and Gurley both head and shoulders above everybody else because of their receptions and their yards, as well as what they do running the football. But, yeah, I mean, I think he nailed it in terms of the four, and I think early in the season it was a runaway for Patrick Mahomes. And it's still – he may be the leader in the clubhouse, but with as good as the Saints are playing, it's what we always say, which is are guys going to take votes away from one another on the same team?
Right.
That could hurt the Saints. But overall, hard to argue with any of those four guys.
Well, and you look at I mean, when you compare the two teams and the fact that Mahomes is as young as he is and the Chiefs are playing as well as they are, and I think that people expected the Chiefs to be good.
Right.
Not this good.
Right.
Not this good. And it has everything to do with how well Mahomes is playing. So, I mean, I think people expected this offense in New Orleans to be really good with Breeze, and you had the two-headed monster at the running game last year, and we all knew Michael Thomas can get the ball and go after it. So, I'm with you. I think it's not a runaway. It's not a given, but I still think Mahomes is the MVP.
I agree.
But, I mean, because you look numbers-wise, 31 touchdowns is 10 more than Breeze has already, and he's thrown for, you know, 500 more yards. So he's got the numbers, and he's got the results. And the
well, and like you said, the biggest thing is the Saints were in the NFC Championship game a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were supposed to be. They lost the game that they should have won against Minnesota. But because of what they did and the fact that they should have won the game against the Vikings, people were thinking, well, this team's back. The defense had... But look, on the fly, they rebuilt a defense that had a lot of holes. Remember now, they lost opening week to the Buccaneers, and they let Ryan Fitzpatrick go wild. So everybody's like, oh, the Saints are back to playing no D. Well, on the fly, they added some pieces. They moved some guys around. They got an Eli Apple. Their defensive line, they looks like they drafted well, and their defensive line looks good with Davenport. And Drew Brees just keeps doing it. Everybody asks when Tom Brady's not going to, you know, be at the same high level. But as long as you got Brees, you got a chance.
Yeah. Do you throw Goff in the mix at all? Do you give him any credit for the as well as
I
the
think
Rams
there's a couple of honorable mentions. I think you got Phillip Rivers. I think Adam Thielen is another honorable mention.
Oh, he's come down a little bit. You're right. Particularly in Rivers' case, because the Chargers are notoriously always dinged up and hurt. And you know how many times we highlighted a year ago that if they had a decent kicker, they would have won five of the games they lost. But he's done a hell of a job this year.
He has. The problem is in the NFL, for anybody other than a quarterback to win the MVP, it's got to be. Yeah. I mean, even bringing up Kamara, it's got to be something that is unprecedented, record-setting. And while they're having nice seasons, both Kamara and Thielen, it's not to the level that they would trump guys like Mahomes and Goff and Brees at this point. But they need to be in the conversation.
Right. I think at the very minimum, they're just honorable mentions.
They're 4 and 5 in the voting, right? Yeah. Like, you got those three, and then maybe Kamara and Thielen, and I would be good with that. And Gurley, you could make the case for sure for Gurley.
For sure.
But, yeah, those, I think right now, it's probably a two-horse race between Brees.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, are we missing anyone? But we've basically
covered... I think those six names,
because we've covered
sure.
the four best teams. We all are in agreement in whatever order they're in, but it's the Chiefs, the Saints, the Rams... And then,
yeah, I mean, you've got the Vikings, but the Vikings aren't playing well, but Thielen is.
Steelers are up there. Patriots just took a shot.
I mean, I don't think that the Colts have looked good enough overall for Andrew Luck to get some consideration, but he's had, like I told you, he's second in the NFL in touchdowns
Which, with 26 you're right. passing That's a stat touchdowns. No one would believe.
No.
By the way, did you see the one thing that Tom Brady did yesterday that he joined Jerry Rice?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's only the second guy in the history of the NFL to catch a pass at 41 years of age or older. It wasn't pretty, but it got him in the record book.
Nice. A couple more quick news and notes, and then we don't belabor the point, but Detroit Lions punter Sam Martin left Soldier Field in an ambulance, undisclosed injury. I haven't seen anything else come out, but it's just weird. Like, he went down on one knee, he walked to the sideline, came back in and punted again, ends up in the hospital or leaves in an ambulance. Cooper Kupp may be done for the year with a knee injury.
That's big.
And Bengals fired their defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin, after that Saints game. That disastrous, ugly Saints game. So,
and the Saints signed Brandon Marshall.
That is right. That's
so,
the other news.
Aside from Dez Bryant and the unfortunate injury there,
that was
brought
the
other
for the
guy
AJ
they had brought
Pickham
in.
Too. The Saints.
Was it?
Yep.
That was an easy one. I went 0-2.
I went 1-1 this week.
Who did I take?
Oh, God. I got killed. Fresno was up 17 and lost Friday night.
Oh, don't.
And I took the Patriots at the Titans going, oh, they're going to roll, do the Texans a favor, just boom, kick me in both grapes. Just let it fly with a steel-toed work boot.
I know that my my college pick missed because of the damn hook. But I got to look and see who my NFL pick was. I don't remember how I did on that.
Okay. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it and hand it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz as they take you home till 7 right here on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back, which has been a lot of fun today. If you missed any part of The Usual Suspects on a Monday, but if you did, please go back and get the podcast. Check what you missed, ESPN975.com.
Did you see the tweet from Le'Veon Bell from 2013?
Oh, no.
No, the 2013 tweet.
All I know is that apparently the tweet did not age well. That's all I know.
That's what it said. This is his tweet. February 13th, 2013.
Okay.
If you could sit out a year of a sport you play and you're not injured or something else is preventing you to play, then you don't love it.
Oops.
That's
hypocrisy to the max.
Ugh.
God, I hate
Twitter. It's kind of like the Durant tweet where he's like, well, you know, it's just all these super teams, whatever happened. And then you go and join Golden State. It's the same exact thing to me.
I really need to go back to 2014 and just delete all my tweets. Because I know there's something.
Signed Josh Hader.
Well, see, it's not that bad.
Not yours, but I'm saying I think Josh Hader had similar thoughts right about the All-Star break.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm just going to start deleting from last week. I'm just going to only keep a week of tweets.
You might have a lot of work to do. If there was like some little, like if you could do the reverse bots thing where you could just put hashtag run as one, run your mouth as one, you could maybe reel in some of those.
I was looking through old notes and old things that I had written. I was like, well, this is highly inappropriate. And not a tweet either. It was a blog post or something that I was like going to post that I never did. Thank goodness. But I was like, I don't know what the hell I was thinking there, but that was inappropriate. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell posted that, and then of course he got crucified on Twitter. But speaking of Twitter and it be getting funny, Jared Goff in a game used an audible, and you know you'll hear them. You'll hear like Omaha was Peyton Manning's
right,
big.
Right. Yep.
You'll hear what is Aaron Rodgers has one. He usually is just green, right?
Green, like 19.
Green 19. Yeah. Well, I guess in the midst of calling an audible, Jared Goff used a famous actress's name, and it sounded something like this on the field.
I'm telling you, he has jumped up to a really next level of quarterbacking from where he was. I mean, it's really impressive to watch.
If you didn't hear him, he's yelling, Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm. Jumped up to...
And so someone tweets it out and says, yo, did Jared Goff, was he yelling Halle Berry? And so they said Goff using Halle Berry is an audible. So she says, hold up, Jared, what is the Halle Berry? To which he responds, it's my favorite play ever. And it was like, bro, you're so corny. And then he just proceeds to get roasted. Everybody, Todd Gurley called him a thought.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was the best part.
That hoe over there, a thought. That hoe over there. Todd Gurley calls him a thought, and then like Andrew Whitworth is just posted the monkey cover in his face, like, oh my god, what are you doing? The cry face. Somebody posted a picture of T.O. saying, that's my quarterback.
They said he was so giddy that the word traveled in the locker room to let him know, and then he didn't believe him. And then when it did, it was like a kid at show and tell. He's like, look, lady, showing everybody. He was all fired up, and it made for very humorous
shot
Twitter.
His shot for sure. But my goodness, that's corny. I mean, right? Like, it's my favorite play ever. First of all, it sounds creepy.
Did you also, and then after
and
that,
childish.
He also tried to elaborate after that to go, you know, when Sean McVay put it in the playbook this week, you know, of course it was like a really good look. It was a beautiful play that we all
thought. That's what I was going to say. You could have just said, it's a beautiful play. It has to be seen to be appreciated. That would have been smooth or smoother than, it's my favorite play ever. Oh, my God. Like, it just sounded so desperate. Bro, you're an amazing quarterback in the NFL, and Rich, don't act all giddy like that. You got to hold it together. gotta. I mean, like, you know, when Alyssa Milano was messaging me,
I was just gonna go down that road with you. He's giddy about Halle Berry.
Yeah. Buckshot Bob and Alyssa Milano. I mean,
well, listen, when you're as popular as me, those things happen. You just get used to it. Somebody said, texted the show and said, this is how you know Barry is fat. It's the way he laughs. Sounds like he's having an asthma attack. It's kind of true. You've said I sound like Snagglepuss.
Oh, yes. That I've said.
Yes. It's a wonder how much Barry hates that caller that kept saying we when he was talking about the Rockets. It was driving me insane. I'm not going to
Did you catch it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Plenty.
McVay, by the way, said in regards to that, she's a very attractive woman that players know, and it's related to the play. Sean, you don't have to shoot your shot. You're dating a really hot model in L.A. Let Jared have his fun, right?
Somebody texted and said, Barry, you're so jealous. All you have is Paula Abdul. Oh, that's right. She did follow me. I mean, it's, you know, I didn't freak out.
Oh, boy.
I kind of freaked out. Like, oh, my God, guys, the crazy lady, Paula Abdul, followed me. Oh, my God.
She is nuts.
She is, yes, insane. Yeah,
it's not even borderline. She's she's crossed over.
Certifiably.
Yeah, no
somebody
doubt
said, somebody said, it, to be smooth, he should have said, you know what, I'll explain it in person. That's pretty smooth.
That would have been good.
Yeah, way better than... That's my favorite.
Hey, what? Nick, make sure Jake Asman goes back and listens to the podcast of this show.
Please don't ever mention his name on this program, sir. Please do not, because now you're going to get him running in here, and we don't need that right now.
No, he's not here. Nick and I had to give little Jake a little kind of introduction to how things are done when he's terrified to ask a chick out.
Oh,
while we were at the Astros game, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jake had basically seen a girl for like, I don't know how many times.
And he got advice from you two?
Well, it was bad. Like, I mean, he's sitting there going, oh, there's that girl. I really like her, and I think I know her name, but I don't know. And we don't know how to talk to her. What should I do? What should I do? Nick and I are like, how old are you?
Go grab her booty. No, really? Don't do that. Don't ever do that.
And we had to, like,
that's what Nick does.
Step
that's
by
Nick's
step.
Move.
I would not grab nobody's booty.
We had to, like, step by step. And then it turns out his friend walks by the chick and goes, hey, what's going on? And they're talking. I go, are you getting this right now?
Works?
You go talk to your friend right
confidence,
now, and you've
fellas.
Got the groundwork laid for you.
It's all about confidence, man. It's all about your confidence. If you look confident, they pick up on that right away. Somebody said, this is how you know Nick is fat. He is. That was from L.U. Dillon.
Oh,
so
boy.
There you go. It's been a long time since we've had an L.U. Dillon fat call.
You were talking about confidence, though.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that I caught yesterday in the post game, and it's just a guy that's really feeling maybe overconfident, but very confident in his situation right now. Baker Mayfield's pretty happy. They beat the Falcons.
Should
he had
be.
A good game. They were talking to him about just kind of yesterday, game day, everything that happened. He was confident when he got up.
Huh? Earlier for you, 13 out of 13, but all of them were sharp and right where you wanted to throw them. Do you know that in warm-ups, if you're going to have a day like that, like a starting pitcher or something?
No. Warm-ups, not really, but when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
That's funny.
Care to expand on that?
No, I just woke up feeling real dangerous.
That's it.
That's great. That's great. He's just having a little fun.
You're having fun and keeping him guessing. Like, yeah, you know,
that's
a little
funny.
Dangerous.
Somebody said that Goff should have told her or should have replied and said, oh, it's a deep route with a couple of pumps by me.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. It would have not worked at all.
Trusted
way too.
Trusted to scoring play?
Oh, there you go.
Mm.
There you go.
That's
not
work.
Bad either.
Yeah.
A quick Astros note before we have to get out of here. Jose Altuve provided an update on his rehab, telling Brian McTaggart of MLB.com and a few other reporters that he's not doing a lot right now, but that the only thing that they told me is we're going to be 120% for the first day of spring training, and that's what really matters. So surgery seems to have gone well, and it looks like he'll be ready to go.
Looks like both ends of the spectrum, him and Lance.
That's the other end of it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Altuve was doing an appearance at Minute Maid, and he was in a pretty big knee brace.
Yeah.
But the good news is that he got it done right away after the season, and he should be ready to go for spring training, so that's great news. We didn't get your thoughts on McCullers, but that was something we kind of expected. But I don't know why they sat on it so long.
That is the only thing is you wonder what the why wait?
Right.
Why did they wait? Is this something they thought would go away? If it was as bad as reported, then I don't think that they thought it
would. And the other thing
away.
That everybody was asking about right away was why was he even still pitching then if he knew it was coming?
Knew,
but
yeah.
They said he couldn't do more damage. And he said, look, if I knew I was going to have to sit out over a year, I love this team so much, I wanted to try and contribute if I knew I wasn't going to do any more damage. Still, from an organizational and a medical, with lawsuits and everything else.
As deep as this rotation was, and I say that by saying that McHugh in the bullpen could have came in, you had other guys, you had other options. As deep as it was, you could have sat him down and got the surgery done in the middle of the year.
Yep.
I mean, you could have been well ahead of the game and maybe had him back for the second half.
Trying to
reduce the stretch in a playoff run. That part of it I'm just baffled by. And you know, maybe it wasn't completely honest with them, so you can't necessarily blame them. It just doesn't make a lot of sense, though.
You're right. All right, hey, good to have you back. Everybody's back in tow. We'll be back again tomorrow as well, so we appreciate you, and hopefully you will do the same. For now, it's Fred and AJ. They're coming to you from Jack's Grill coming up next. Don't miss it. It's The Blitz, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.